My dog just stay with the turtle or come back in and fight?
Stay with the turtle.
Okay. Just in case.
Word up. Yeah.
Welcome to the 80s. So you all need to give me for Christmas more D6s.
That's if we still like you.
Depends on how the rest of this goes.
I don't know.
What did you?
Common sense. Gotta get one more D8. Just hit the D6 one 20 times.
Listen, but I've got nice shiny math rocks.
I have not had that bad of a beatdown as a character for a long time.
Chapter 331, The Breath of Despair.
Okay, so you guys have been facing off against some really, really nasty opponents. One that nearly dropped Kraval in one round, and probably should have actually, but there was some luck of the rolls there. But a clever polymorph actually worked upon the one of them. Another one, you were able to go and just pummel down to the earth, and you're left with one bad guy left, and you've really beat on him for quite a bit anyways. And the nice thing is you all get to go before the bad guy. So let's get into it here. And Jade, you get to go first.
Cool. I will shoot him twice with sharpshooter.
Okay.
The first one's a natural one. And the next one is a 22.
22 does hit.
That'll be 22 points of damage.
Okay.
And then, should my dog just stay with the turtle or come back in and fight?
Stay with the turtle.
Okay. Just in case.
Word up. Yeah.
Welcome to the 80s.
That'll be it for my turn.
Okay.
I planned out my entire round.
My dog was going to come in, and then I was...
Things were going to happen, I was expecting
that I wanted to be there, and it'd be really cool, because I was like, I'm going to cast a Dispel Magic on his whip, and it's going to be no fire.
You are not within 30 feet of the bad guy, so he can't whip you, so he is going to instead whip Cotter.
Just ganging up on him.
And Cotter, you... get a 27 to hit you.
They get disadvantage.
They do?
Because I have protection from evil and good.
Okay. Then you get a 27 to hit you, because the next roll was better.
That's unfortunate.
Not too unfortunate, though.
Still moderately unfortunate.
Yep.
So I don't like getting hit.
You take 13 points of slashing damage. And... 10 points of lightning damage.
This is why the argument between dexterity or constitution, which one's more important, and, is really superfluous.
You need to make a
levels.
Strength saving throw.
Okay, so that is a 14.
Okay, it pulls you right up next to it. So someone pulled Cotter right up next to him.
Hi, Cotter.
Now you don't have to move to attack.
Yep. Okay, and...
It's a enemy delivery. It'll be the new best gig work thing.
There we go. Okay, and then next up is Adri. Adri, what are you going to do? You're standing right next to him.
I'm going to shadow step over here on one of the sarcophagi.
Oh, and it's completely black now because the flaming guy's gone. Yeah. Actually, I guess it isn't completely black because this guy's whip and stuff is still glowing, so it's dimly lit in the room.
Perfect. Then I'm going to shoot him twice in the head.
Okay.
Well, I don't think... Oh, I know, 19.
Yeah.
19. So first shot is 9 points of damage. Still. Nope, just kidding. 7 points of damage.
Okay, that makes math easier.
Second shot is a 21 to hit.
Hits.
4. Nice. 14 points of damage.
Okay. Anything else?
No, not that I'm willing to do.
Okay.
At this point.
Okay, yeah, he's looking pretty teetery at this point. And then Krivol, you get to go. You're standing right pretty much in front of it, about 5 feet away.
Kill it.
Yeah, well, use my glaive on it because it has a reach on it, so I don't have to move. So I'll take one quick strike at it. 25.
25 does hit.
Right, so I do not get the cleric DA because I already used that on something I just did. So it's a D10. I don't know why I bothered putting my dice away. And I will sacrifice the third level spell slot for 2, 3, 4 D8s more worth of damage. And he's a fiend, so that's 5d8 worth of damage. 1, 2. Why, oh, why did I put my dang dice away?
I don't know.
What did he?
Common sense. Gotta get one more d8. Thank you. Oh. So that's 17 points of slashing.
Okay.
That's max damage. And 14, 19, 23, 26 points of radiant.
Okay. And you see that just kind of slice into its body. And once again, just this tornado of black appears around it and just sucks it into the earth. But just as that vortex is about to, you know, be sucked into the earth, just explodes outward with a wave of flame.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody must make for me a dexterity saving throw. So the monks might actually be.
Can I counter spell that?
Is this an area of effect?
You cannot.
Is this an area of effect?
Worth a shot.
Kind of thing?
Yes.
Okay, so evasion applies?
Yes. It will. Okay. Dexterity applies. The dexterity save applies.
Everyone? Oh, right.
Everyone?
Everybody that's in the close room. So you two plus the dog in the back don't.
Okay.
But just the people in the room.
Oh, gosh. I'm 25. Rolling like garbage.
Is this a magical effect?
It's a ability it has.
All right, so that's a 28.
Okay, 16. Good.
19.
16 there, Cotter?
Yep.
Okay. So the only one that failed is Cotter. So he'll take the full damage, and then the rest of you will take half damage, and I don't know if I've got enough D6s here.
How many do you need?
Hey, Adrian, I need 20 total.
To take no damage.
20 total? Total? Good.
Like here, it. I got something better for you to use then. Seriously.
Let me see how many I have here.
Really? Yeah.
Just hit the D6 20 times.
Listen, but I've got my nice shiny math rocks.
Okay, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying it's, yeah, but there's something for rolling it. You feel the vibrations in the ground.
You're 7.
I need 6.
You feel like you're dealing the damage. Yeah. Now.
That's what I got. Just on 20.
49.
That's not bad.
Ooh. Look at all those numbers.
Oh, I rolled. Okay. My dice rolled really high.
Okay, so Cotter, you take 79 points of damage.
Ow. I'm alive, though, but ow.
And you take half of that, Krivol.
39.
And the two monks, I believe,
yeah, we're totally
don't take
fine.
Anything because yeah. you can roll with it.
And we super ninja jumped over it.
Yes. We just like mm-hmm. cartwheel over the
floor. So what did you two end up as at the end of the hit point thing?
19.
6.
Oh my gosh.
Almost leveled him. So you all need to give me for Christmas more D6s.
That's if we still like you.
Depends on how the rest of this goes.
Can we assume the banishment on the turtle will happen?
I was just about to ask that. I'm assuming you're going to go and banish the turtle and
let it
go a minute, let it go back to the plane of its existence there.
How do you maintain it for that full minute?
You just some concentration.
Okay.
You're like, if it doesn't reappear.
Okay.
And since there's nothing to break the concentration, I think this will work out quite nicely.
I think that's the only thing.
Oh, it's only
Mr. Paladin, do you want to banish it? Because I actually don't think I have banishment.
I have banishment as well.
Oh.
I also have banishment if we need
it. So who wants to banish it?
I can banish it.
All right, so
I can also wish for banishment, but I'm not going to do that.
No, don't do that.
I cast banishment. It's a turtle.
I have invisibility, so I cast Vanishment.
You know, I can also turn invisible.
Yeah, but can you attack and stay invisible,
depending on the situation? And become resistant
to all damage except force?
Mass invisibility.
So, looking around the room.
Okay, so like we said, you know, this is a 30 by 60 foot room, or 30 by 50 foot room, and it's, as you can see, just chock-a-block full of about 15 different sarcophagi. Each one has a name of a person on it. And then the one there in the center that's kind of crosswise to everybody says captain on it. So apparently that was the captain of the guard. But once again, they seems to be like different fonts on these ones. So they must have died at different times and been interned at different times. So there you are. What are you going to do next?
I'm going to take 4 steps forward here. And I want to send out a pulse of awareness, see if there's, because these doors look like they're open, and see if there's any other.
Well, it's just an open archway into a dark,
right,
wide open, empty space.
Oh, there's nothing there?
Oh, there's definitely something there. But I mean, it's just like if you step to the edge of a closed down, empty football stadium, mm-hmm. you know, one of the dome stadiums when the lights are off,
right.
That feeling you get of just expansiveness around you, that's what you get looking at this thing. So there's some very large.
If I do the palatal pulse for the fey fiends, undead mm-hmm. fiends.
And how far does that go?
About 30 feet.
Okay. You get nothing within 30 feet of you.
Okay.
And I would really like a torch. Take a short rest. One, I can get a charge back on my rings, which let me hit harder, and I get my key back. Can we take like a quick 20?
Want to do some roll some hit die and all that stuff?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
I would very much like to roll some.
Okay, like so those of you that need to roll hit dice can roll hit dice.
How many do we get?
Sit down and lick 4. Your wounds.
4.
This is going to hurt.
Bronishment.
Mm-hmm. Nice. You've come a long way.
I confirmed that we get 4?
No, I just made it up.
Yeah.
How did my dog get back hit points?
You just has to either be healed or you know, beginning of the day.
Cool.
You can bandage him up.
How many times can we roll the d8s?
4, I think.
4 times?
4, yeah.
I'm doing well.
Yeah, good.
All right. Ooh, and a short rest, so I get... And I get all my key back.
I play fetch with my dog.
Except, you know, he won't give you the tennis ball back, and you have to pull it out of his mouth. Gimme, gimme, gimme.
He's like, no take, only throw.
We can do some training. Sit, stand, heal.
I'm feeling pretty good as a monk.
Speak.
Okay.
I'm ready.
So is everyone all bandaged up? Got whatever hit points you're going to have for now?
Yep. I didn't take much. I took a little bit of wee fire damage.
Yeah, I'm about 2/3 full.
I'm going to cast Aura of Vitality, and it's probably all going to go into me. I'm just going to roll... 2d6 like 10 times.
Okay, do that really quickly.
Well, if you're gonna let me make this a little easier than this. If you're gonna do that, I will cast Beacon of Hope at 3rd level, and you'll just get 12 over and over again.
Okay, yeah.
So do the math on that and add that to your hit points.
120.
Would that apply to our hit die too, or is it only
just
magical healing?
Magical healing.
Mm. It's any healing, isn't it? I thought it was any healing.
I think it's healing spells.
I mean, if it's any healing, it'd be cool if he had done that at the start.
Oh, yeah. So max number of hit points possible from any healing.
Okay. So, yeah, everyone max out your
so that's
hit dice.
It's 32.
That will give me my remaining 1 hit point.
You're welcome. Oh, math sucks. 44 and 4 is 8. 88. So 88 to...
And I'll give you another 27. Cast Cure Wounds.
Too much math. I'm old. How much more?
27.
Get off my piece of paper. I'm getting attacked.
Once,
yeah.
How
once
much more do you need?
29.
20. You can get another 27.
Good enough.
And how are you doing, Cotter?
I have not had that bad of a beatdown as a character for a long time. Seriously, Normally it's
sometimes it's good to be invisible and fast.
Those with particularly high perception might hear Kraval, who's trying to be circumspect and not have the person over here go, this must be what Arlen feels like.
Yeah. Every day.
So where are you at now, Cotter?
With all of that, I am flat full.
Okay, good. So everyone seems to be just about full up.
Yes.
Hey, Beacon of
Hope. Okay, so what are you going to do? It's all quiet there in the sepulchre that you're in now.
Could you send...
Could you send
your dancing lights into the room?
I can do that.
I can send my pixies. Dancing lights in the room.
Okay, yeah.
I'm pretty sure the pixies were wiped out by the giant explosion.
Yeah. Or we could just send the fireball in there. I can send...
My dancing lights, they only go out about 30 feet, so but I can...
Don't they go out 120 feet?
Do Sorry. They?
I just know they're bright, and I know you can put them like in a... Basically,
there's
in shape.
Brightness
I haven't,
torches.
I barely
you could turn
ever
it into like literally a human
lights.
Being and have them walk into the room.
That's true.
They're basically bright torches, so...
Oh, well, yeah. Still, that's something.
Yeah.
So even if they're only 30 feet, let me see.
I mean, all of us with dark vision, including the dragonborn with his goggles, will be able to see.
Anyways, yeah.
Yeah.
So it'd be about as long as it would take me to flip to the page.
Yeah.
Oh, nope, you're right. 120 feet. Yeah, so I'll send them out and then just kind of have them keep pushing.
How bright are they?
They cast like torches do. Yeah, they are.
It's probably right at 30 feet from.
Dim light in a 10-foot radius. Yep. Yeah, each light sheds dim light in a 10-foot radius.
That's not too bad, though.
Mm-hmm. So, well, basically, you send them out there, and they just... You can see the little points of light, but they're just swallowed up in the enormity of the cavern that you're looking at. But you have dark vision, everybody does.
Yeah.
So you can actually see what's in this cavern. And you step out into a wonder. The entire mountainside must be hollowed out. Or rather, as you notice, buttress ribs of stone meeting overhead... In this massive hold, a wonder of ancient engineering that must have been of lost eons ago. It was covered by the detritus of millennia and buried by the mountain itself. As you stand in the archway, the walls run 100 feet to your right and left, and then three times as long in front of you. The arches springing from the corners and sides of this massive hall rise 70 feet overhead to meet at the peak. As awe-inspiring as this engineering feat of the ancients is, it is what is below you that takes your breath away. The room falls away in slopes below you that seem strangely familiar. 30 feet below, the terrain flattens out into a large, flattened, ovoid area, projections rising up, glittering with small lights. Between those, small silvery rivulets reflecting the light back at you. At that moment, the far wall begins to glow with a rose hue, and a blazing circle emerges from the junction of the ceiling in this lower terrain, and a glowing circle starts to rise up the wall, illuminating the room and throwing everything into relief, and you realize that you have been looking at the kingdom in miniature.
Oh.
That's cool.
To your right and left, the mountains of the inland and the coast range rise up the walls and project out into the room, the tallest seemingly anointed with realistic snow. From them, small creeks of what has to be mercury flow silver down their ancient courses into the rivers that form the ancient Magna Fluvium. That, in turn, flows through the valley to the delta and the sea. But this is not the Mare Arenosum of your day, but the Valley of Antiquity with all of its verdant lushness and civilization. It is the ancient map you so long ago acquired in miniature reality. You spy all of the ancient cities of history in perfect miniature. Oro Sivatum, Exodus, Magna Manu, all the rest can be seen in the distance, the capital of Calium Sedes and all his glory in the middle of the delta. At your feet, fully 6 feet wide, lies a miniature Portum Magnum in perfect and precise detail. However, this is the Portum Magnum of a millennia ago. There is no tiered city, no aqueducts, no grand esplanade. At your feet are just the great gate to the desert nomads of the east, and the small keep that guarded it, and the small walled city that encompasses the homes and warehouses of the trading families that will one day take command of the kingdom's commerce many centuries in the future. Similarly, as you cast your gaze at the baronies you know from your age, Kolesque has no palisade gate, but just tiers and tiers of vines marching up the mountainside. Similarly, Civitas Cataracta is just the small river spanning keep, and the island tower and Exculparium Colis has no wooden or stone walls surrounding the hilltop keep. Pheromones is, as it always was, an enigmatic mountain. But there seems to be no gnome settlement in the plateau behind it, but rather between it and Kolesque as it was. Winding from your feet around Portum Magnum, and then snaking through the miniature valley of Campo Magno to the Mercury Sea in the distance, is a 10-foot-wide path that apparently allowed passage from across this wonder from one end to the necropolis to the other. At the far end of the room, the ancient engineers apparently couldn't hold back the tide of time. A section of the wall has collapsed into the Mercury Sea, crushing an ancient barge, which must have been the way that the ancients got access for the worthy to this hallowed area. As amazing as this site is, it's what in the middle and side of the room that catches your attention. In the very middle of the Campo Magno, lying across the Magna Flumen, near Ubrium Concordia, is a stone sarcophagus similar to the one in the first chamber you entered. However, this lid is more ornate. Projected from its surface is a relief carving of a man lying prostrate with his hands crossed upon his breast, holding the hilt of a sword lying lengthwise down his body. That is not the only carven figure, however. In ranks, facing outwards towards the rest of the kingdom, are stone statues of warriors holding bows, spears, and swords. Even from here, they appear lifelike in every detail, and every one appears unique, as if modeled after a real person. All of these millennia later, they stand guard, their aggressive stances seeming to warn against approach. But even these amazing wonders are not the most significant thing in the room. Floating in the air above the sarcophagus is a swirling vortex of black and purple and electric blue. And that's where we're going to stop today. Dungeon Master's Notes. Okay, well, first thing, really short episode. Two reasons for that. One, I thought the fight might go just a little bit longer, but we were unable to bring in the other Balor to fight. And the party did do a fantastic job of facing down the last remaining enemy there and taking them down. On the whole for the fight, obviously one of the possibilities that they could have brought up was another wall of fire. Wouldn't that have been fun? But I just never had a moment to pull it out. In retrospect, probably should have done that early on in the fight and see if I could get everyone flushed out of the hallway there. Also would have changed the dynamic with what was happening with the dog and the turtle. Those of you with, sharp eyes, realized that the explosion should have happened with Balor, but I mixed up my notes and put it on the other fiend as well. So had it happen with that one there. And then finally, the Breath of Despair. Was really, really hoping that that would land a lot harder than it did, but it did not. So there we are. And then the other thing to talk about was the Tomb of the First King here. Hope you all enjoyed that description. And yes, of course, I did get the idea from this from the actual tomb of the first emperor of China with the terracotta warriors. Although, you know, I wasn't about to put like 700,000 terracotta warriors because there was no way they would fit in this. But then also, this idea came from a rumored tomb of a Chinese emperor where apparently he was buried in a sarcophagus in a map of China with rivers made out of mercury and so forth. Was just too delicious a idea not to run with there. And so now we see what the steward meant by having to come across the ocean to get to the king's chamber, because of course it appears that there's a barge that crossed the Mercury Sea out there to wherever the actual entrance of this location is, lost to time and now buried under the mountain. So anyways, it seems that the party has found the location of the tomb of the first king, and it seems that they may also have found the gateway to the underworld that was letting all the fiends in. So what's going to happen? We'll have to wait for the next episode to find out. Until then, rate us and subscribe wherever you get your podcast so you don't miss an episode. Email us at relicofthepastpodcast@gmail.com with questions or comments. Follow us at Relic of the Past or Relic of the Past Podcast on your social media feeds. And thank you for playing in the world that lives inside my head.